that one of the houses was built on the rock, a foundation of rock. And the other house was built on the foundation of sand. There were no other distinctions that he made about these houses other than the difference between those two foundations. He said that the house that was built on the rock was being compared to the life of a person who hears the word of God and applies what they hear. That is to say that they're building their lives on the firm foundation of a relationship with Jesus Christ. Then the other house was a person who also heard the word, but didn't apply anything that they heard. And this was the house built upon the sand, that somebody who's building their life on something other than Jesus, building it on the job, building it on a marriage, trying to build your life on your children, trying to build your life on something, money, success, whatever it is, something other than Jesus Christ. Now, you wouldn't know the difference between the two houses on a sunny day. That's what I like about that story, is that when the sun was out, it looked like both those houses were just fine. Just like in an assembly such as this, we could look around and everybody looks like they're loving Jesus today. I'm sure you all are. I'm just saying, if it was a different church, you'd probably be some people that not. But everybody here I know loves Jesus. And these two houses look the same. But when the storm came, Jesus said, now there's going to be a distinction. Now there's going to be a separation. And when the storm began to beat against both of those houses, the one built on the rock in the aftermath of the storm was still standing. But the house built on the sand fell apart and collapsed. And so what that shows us, one, is that no matter how much you love God and no matter how faithful you are to the things of God, there will be storms that come into your life. That whether you saved or whether you unsaved, in this present age, there's going to be some trials. There's going to be some tribulations. There's going to be some difficulties. There may be some things that happen to you that are unfair. You may even have to deal with a tragedy or a crisis. And even though you love Jesus, that storm will still beat against you. Now, that storm may do a little damage to the house. I mean, you might lose some of the shingles off the roof or some things like that, some minor repairs, but when it's all said and done, that house is still going to stand. And that's what it's like, that God has not promised us that you're never going to go through difficult times. He has not promised you that everything's always going to be wonderful all the time, that everything's going to be rainbows and butterflies all the time. But he has promised us that no matter what we go through, he will go through it with us, because he will never leave us and he will never forsake us. And that even though the storm beats against our life, when it's all said and done and that season of difficulty passes, you find that you still standing firmly in relationship with your loving Heavenly Father. Amen. But then you have people who may come to church all the time and hear the word and hear the word and hear the word, but go right out the door and never apply the word. Well, as soon as the storm hits, you find a lot of people ain't in church no more. As soon as the storm hits, people question their faith. As soon as the storm hits, people are done with God. And you find out that they were never building their lives first and foremost on the foundation of Jesus Christ. That's what we want to do here. Amen. And so in Mark 4, when we read about this storm, I said to you that it was a good picture of the internal storms that go on in our lives. That this storm hits, and then the disciples in the middle of the storm are in this man-made boat, and this boat is crashing around and they're feeling like it's all over for them, and they realize and remember that Jesus is on the boat. And so they did have enough sense to recognize, Jesus, you need to wake up. Jesus went to sleep on the boat. And like we said last week, and I want to reiterate, is that sometimes, now I know theologically that Jesus never goes to sleep on you and that God never sleeps with slumber. I got that. But just so that you understand what goes on in our lives, it's like when they were on that boat, they knew how to sail that boat. They were so good at it. They'd done it since they were kids. They could figure this out on their own. They didn't even need Jesus, so he went to sleep. And so I say, I wonder how many times in our lives Jesus just says, okay, I go to sleep. I wonder how many times we have in trouble with finances, and rather than go to God, He just goes to sleep because you got it. You got it all figured out on a sunny day when it's smooth sailing, when the check's still coming in, when everything's everything. Jesus is just going to sleep. You don't even notice. But when the storm comes, that's when you got to wake Christ up on the inside of you and go, I'm more than a conqueror. Oh, yeah, that's right. He never leaves me or forsakes me. You got to wake up Christ on the inside of you. And so he wakes Jesus. They wake Jesus up. And Jesus gets up probably agitated because he had a good sleep going. If you sleeping in the middle of a storm, you sleep. You know what I'm saying? You for real sleep. And so they probably woke him up and he probably was like, what? And they're like, don't you care that we perish? And then he was like, peace be still. Then he rebuked them because of their lack of faith. And then why is that, that we forget about Jesus? It happens to the best of it. It happens to me at times where when life is good and you forget to praise and thank God for all the good things that's going on in your life, you take him for granted and you just see that company logo on your check and it's coming in every week, every 2 weeks, and you just it's almost like you forget that you need Jesus. But as soon as you go through some hard times, who's the first one you blame? God, why is this happening to me? Don't you care that we perish? Now, all of them days of smooth sailing you forgot about when the storm came. But see, this is the key. The way that you build your life on the rock is that you are conscious of God on a daily basis. That you recognize when you got safely to your job and back home that you praise and thank God because, God, I could have been in an accident, but thank you for sending your angels to keep me safe. You got to wake up in the morning and say, thank you that I'm awake this morning, Lord God. I thank you that when I go to the refrigerator, I'm not sitting somewhere trying to figure out how to feed my babies, but I got more than enough food to go around. You got to learn how to be conscious of all the goodness and all of the blessing and all of the wonderful things that your Heavenly Father is providing for you on a regular basis, so that when the storm hits, you just go into doing what you've been doing all along, and that is giving praise and thanksgiving and appreciation to God. But I said that this story represents for us this morning the internal. It's a good picture because you can't see what's going on in a person's mind and heart emotionally, but you see that picture that when the storm hits. And so external storms can't destroy us unless we allow the external storm to create in us an internal storm. As long as you're peaceful and still and calm on the inside, you can deal with what's going on the outside. But what the enemy, Satan, would love to happen is to get you looking so much at what's going on the outside that it starts to stir up a storm in your soul. You ever seen people who can go through the slightest little something? I mean, some people can go through loss and difficulty and pain and still have a smile on their face and still give God praise. And then other people could get a flat tire and that's it. It's going to take them a week and a half to recover from that. I can't believe I had a flat. And it was still in the driveway. You wasn't even on the side of the road. And they messed up for a week and a half. You say good morning at work and they say, what's good about it? And they say, what's wrong with you? I had a flat 3 days ago. That's what's wrong with me. And you have other people go through all kinds of difficulties and trial and can still have the joy of the Lord flowing in their life. And so remember when you had Peter. Peter's an excellent example of that when scriptures speak of another storm. And in this storm, the disciples are, it looks like they're going to die, basically. They probably start thinking, Jesus, before we hooked up with you, we ain't never had to deal with a storm until all of a sudden now. Because they was always ended up in a storm. And so they get in this storm and the wind is crashing, the waves are splashing. This is an ugly scene. And then they look up and they see Jesus walking on the water. Now, like I said, you got to think. Put your spiritual thinking caps on for a minute. Just think about what we're saying. It's a storm And it's blowing the boat to the place that it's about to turn over. Their lives in jeopardy. And Jesus, who I would imagine was less than 150 pounds, is walking on water, which is an amazing miracle in itself, but he's not being blown away. You know what I'm saying? You remember when we talked about swagger? Jesus just on the water. He's just on the water. And then you crashing around in a boat and you look up and you see this 135-pound guy just walking. Now, Peter sees this and he sees that there's something powerful going on right here. Because I'm crashing around in this boat and the wind and the waves are crashing, but he's walking on the water and he's not even being moved by the storm. So he recognizes it is possible then to be in the middle of a storm and keep walking and not get blown away and not drown, not sink. And so something on the inside of Peter said, I want some of that. Jesus, if that's you, bid me to come. And he said, come. We always talk about Peter for sinking, but that brother got out the boat. I probably would have stayed in the boat and said, Jesus, come on, get in the boat and rebuke the storm like you did that last time. But Peter steps out of the boat. Now, for a while, the storm hasn't changed. The bill's still coming in. The children are still tripping. You're still having trouble in the marriage. Nothing changed. You're still hurting because of loss or it's still going on. But something changed with Peter. Because the same Peter that was rocking and rolling in that boat stepped out into a supernatural place where now he had his swagger for a minute. He walking on the water, not being blown away by the storm. So he has to be walking in internal peace. Because the internal peace is what's keeping him walking on that water. And he's got the internal peace because he's focusing on Jesus and not the circumstance. But then the Bible says when he considered the wind and the waves, when he started looking at the financial issue again, when he started focusing on all the trouble he was having, when he focused on the lies that people were telling on him, when they focused on the boss that gets on his last nerve again, when he focused on the flat tire that he got last week, when he started getting consumed with what was going on out here, something changed in here. So the storm out there hadn't changed, but he started to have an internal storm of fear and doubt. And that's when he started to sink and almost drown in the middle of the storm. You ever feel like he was drowning in worry? You feel like he was just drowning in doubt, drowning in fear, drowning in confusion, drowning in frustration. That's the time where you got to get your eyes off the wind and the waves that's crashing around you, and you got to get back to a place and said, now Jesus is above it all. Jesus is a conqueror. Jesus has victory. Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father, and I'm seated in heavenly places with Him. That's the time you got to wake Christ up on the inside of you, and you got to be able to access the peace on the inside of you and say to your soul, peace. Be still. Let's look at John 14 again. And I want to read it from the Amplified Translation, if that's all right. John 14, verse 27. Now, an Amplified Translation, it says, peace I leave you, my own peace I now give and bequeath to you. Now, that word bequeath is a legal term that means that you have inherited something by a will. So Jesus said, before I go, I want to leave you something. He didn't say a bunch of money. Because it was people that didn't even have Jesus had a bunch of money. I'm going to leave you something where you'll never have problems ever again. Didn't do that. He said, I'm going to leave you something more valuable than all of that. I'm going to leave you my own peace. That you, as a child of God, have inherited the peace of God. And he says, not as the world gives to you. So what's the difference then? There is a peace that the world, this world system, gives to you that is always about circumstance. See, I got to catch myself even today. And I used to really be bad at it when I was younger. It was always something else I had to have, then I could be happy. And by the time I got the thing that I just had to have to be happy, it was three other things that I thought of that, man, it'd be nice to have that, then I could be happy. It took years of me getting stuff and still not being happy if I could just get the right this and if I could just have, if my kids would just do this. And before I finally got to the place and said, you know what, I'm spending a lot of time never happy. Because I can't be happy as long as I'm in the apartment. I can't be happy till I get the house. Then you get the house, then the house ain't big enough. And if I can get a bigger house, then I'd be happy. And then I got a bigger house, but I can't afford a decent car because I pay so much for the house. But if I could just get that BMW I always dreamed of, oh, brother, I'd be rolling it. Then I'd be happy. If I could just get a wife that didn't disrespect me and talk back to me and she just mind me and do whatever I told her to do, then I'd be happy. Kids that came to church and read their Bibles all the time and never had any problems and got straight A's in school and got a scholarship to Yale or Harvard or something like that. If that could just happen, then I'll tell you then. Woo, man, boy, I'd be celebrating right then, boy, let me tell you. Or simple things like living for the weekend, which I don't have to do anymore, praise God. Because now I'm doing what God called me to do, what I want to do, and every day is a daggone weekend as far as I'm concerned, because now I'm not enslaved and in bondage to living my life doing something I'm not called to do, not gifted to do. I'm doing what I was born to do, and you can do the same thing. But even before that, you got to have some peace. Because, I mean, I used to, you know, I worked in the post office, among other places, but it was the same wherever you went, where you go in on Monday, and Monday was, that was horrific. That's a horrific day. Rather than be thankful that, God, I got a job that I could go to, we know that, but we wake up like, oh, you got to be, here we go. How you doing? It's Monday. How you think? I heard that, brother. Here we are back in this place again. Like it ain't no gun towers around here with no rifles shooting at you, no barbed wire. You, if it's that bad, you can roll up out of here. It's America. Man, we act like we're in bondage to something. You free to go. It's Monday. Well, you think I feel. Then Tuesday, you're still grumpy. Then Wednesday, you get a little spark because it's hump day. We right to the place now where we right on the hump, and it's just then we can be the Thursday. You're like, all right, now I'm on the downward. I can be happy soon. Then we thank God when on Friday, TGIF. Thank God it's Friday. What you gonna do on the weekend? Same thing I did last weekend. Get drunk and high and try to forget about my miserable existence. How about you? You get all this pressure that builds up because Saturday and Sunday have to be these incredible, amazing days to take away all of the pain and frustration of life because it's Saturday. Only to get there on Monday and say, how was your weekend? Too short. That's the peace the world gives, that the world system has us thinking all of these things. We even buy into it because we start thinking success means how much money I got and how much property I got. Hey, I want money like anybody else. I don't think God wants you to be broke the rest of your life, always trying to find a way to get somebody to give you some money. I think He wants you to be blessed and blessed enough that everything you need, you got, and you giving to other people who are in need. I think God wants us to be healthy and whole and all of that. But can I tell you something? There are people who are not saved, who never gonna be saved, who rich and healthy. So when they see you rich and healthy, they ain't running to you going, oh, it has to be Jesus in your life. Because they saying, I don't have nothing to do with Jesus and I'm rich and famous, richer than you. But the world wakes up, now ain't nothing wrong being rich and healthy. I'm just saying, Hugh Hefner is rich and healthy. But when the world sees that you've tapped into something beyond what the world can access, when the world sees the love of God flowing amongst the people and looks at that selfless, sacrificial love, they step back and say, now what's that? When everybody on the job is facing a layoff, and everybody looks like they're going to lose their mind, and you're still walking in peace, the world steps back and says, what's that all about? You crazy or something? Can't you see what's going on right now? And you get to say to somebody, you know what, I could see that. That concerns me. But the same God that provided for me in this job going to provide for me someplace else, because this job is not my provision. God is my provision. So He said, I'm giving you a peace that's beyond circumstance. I'm giving you a peace that's beyond what's in your checking account. I'm giving you a peace that's beyond your zip code. I'm giving you a peace that no matter what you're dealing with or what you're going through, you can tap into something that's greater than what's going on around you, because the one in you is greater than the one who's in the world. Now He goes on and he says, let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. Now listen. It parenthetically, it says, stop allowing yourselves to be agitated and disturbed. So Jesus said, I'm going to give you something. My peace. Now that you have it, stop allowing yourself to be agitated and disturbed. So when I read that, I thought, so when I'm agitated and disturbed, it's because I'm allowing it. Now, all of us going to deal with some agitation and some frustration. But what we have to remember at those times is, wait a minute. I don't have to allow this storm to keep raging on the inside of me of agitation and frustration and fear and anxiety. I don't have to let that. Hey, I can access a peace and say, peace, be still, that the Lord is my shepherd. He wants to lead me beside still waters. I want you to put your thinking caps on. I want you to just move past this and just be another sermon. You, if you are a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ, inherited His peace. Not just me. We have inherited His, we have it. If I couldn't access God's peace, you know how many times I wouldn't even come up here? Because fear's there. And I'm thinking, I don't want to go up there. This is stupid, what I'm about to say. I know it looks hard to believe when the anointing's flowing, but yes. I'm just going to say something stupid. This ain't going to make no sense. And people are going to look at me. People are going to throw rocks at me. I don't know what to do. And so if that's all, I got to access something at that time. I got to speak to something at that time. I got to speak to my soul and say, peace be still. God has not given me the spirit of fear, but love, power, and a sound mind. It's not about what John can do. It's about what the Spirit of God is going to do through John, so I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I got it. I got it. I got it. So you can deal with that crazy boss of yours that you think driving you so crazy, you're going to quit and just walk out the door. You said, no, there's a peace that you can access. That maybe that crazy boss of yours will see that peace working in your life despite how crazy he or she is acting, and one day might take you aside and say, I want to ask you something. How do you stay so calm? And you can say, Jesus. I mean, since I got saved, for all you know, you can lead him to Christ. I know y'all think that's the most bizarre thing, lead your boss to Christ. Yeah. Some of you are a boss and you the one agitating people because you ain't got no peace. And all of us are like, would you please access the peace of God at some point in time? Scripture also says, do not permit yourselves to be fearful and intimidated and cowardly and unsettled. Don't permit it. Permission comes with authority. Because God's given me authority, there are things I won't permit in this church. That if I just went to a church with no authority, I would just have to choose whether I'm going to stay or go because I have no authority to do anything about it. But I got authority here. So for example, I don't permit judgmentalism. I don't permit for people who are struggling and going through difficult times to have somebody look down their religious nose and act like you better than some. We don't permit that here. We're not going to permit that. I don't allow that. Because if God took the cover off of your life, we find some stuff that you don't want us to see neither. Now look at some of the folks so pious and religious. You would find nothing with me. Pride, that's what we would find. That's not the point. My point is that when fear and agitation and frustration, you can say because of the authority given to you by Jesus Christ and His blood, you can take authority over the internal storm and you can say, I ain't permitting fear to rule in my heart today. I'm not going to permit this agitation to keep ruling in my life. Now, I have my days just like you have your days when you just give yourself over to whatever you're feeling. But at some point in time, you got to shake yourself and you got to wake Christ up and say, hey, Jesus, hello, I'm in a storm. So He can say, use the peace I gave you and speak to it. Let's look a little bit at this other scripture. It won't be much longer. Be at peace. John 16, was it? Verse 33. I want to read that from the Amplified Translation. Keep your thinking caps on, because we have this. Sometimes I forget I have that peace. It don't feel like it sometimes, does it? I like when I feel strong. But even when I feel weak, I still got the same things working on the inside. It says in the Amplified, John 16:33, I have told you these things so that in me you may have perfect peace and confidence. In the world you have tribulation and trials and distress and frustration. Somebody say amen. But be of good cheer, take courage, be confident, certain, and undaunted. For I have overcome the world. Now you got to hear this part. I love this part. I wish I should put it on the screen. I have deprived it of power to harm you and have conquered it for you. What? That Jesus said, I have deprived the world of its power to harm you. I have conquered it for you. That there is nothing in this world system that can destroy you because I've deprived it of its power to do so. What? So when the Bible says I'm more than a conqueror, I can be more than a conqueror because the world's already been conquered. And the one who rules and reigns, I reign in life with Him, Christ Jesus. And so my peace comes from recognizing the truth and not the lie. That even though I've gone through a tragedy, even though I've gone through a trial, even though I've gone through pain, I can realize that, you know what? This hurts right now, but I'm going to get through this like I get through everything else because the world has been deprived of its power to harm me, that Jesus has already conquered the world for me, and because the conqueror is in me, I'm more than a conqueror in Him who loves me. So when I'm going to access that peace, I got to remember that. I got to stop. I got to stop going out like a punk every time it gets rough. I got to realize and say, wait a minute. This looks bad, but I can deal with this. I can go through this. See, something happened when I lost my son a year ago. I told you before, and I tell you again, is that something got woken up on the inside of me that wasn't ever there before. Something woke up on the inside that says, if the devil hits me, he might knock me down for a minute. I'm going to get up, shake it off, and I'm going to hit him back twice as hard and make him pay for hitting me at all. Something on the inside of me said that now, since this has happened to me, and I've gone through this pain and this difficulty and this depression and this discouragement, Jesus brings me through this, and now that he's brought me through this, everybody that's got to go through it, I'm going to be the one you can call, and I can speak life to you and encouragement to you and faith to you and help you navigate your way through the storm and back to peaceful waters. So everything he takes to destroy, I'm going to use it to destroy him. That's what's awesome about God, is that even the things the enemy does to try to take you out, God will just use that thing for you to be a minister of reconciliation and power to people who are going through what you've been through. Just had someone call the other day that just lost their son, and he's 21 years old. And then I can go in with confidence that God is with me, and that I can sit down with this individual, and I can't take away the pain. I can't go through the journey with you. But what I can tell you is I can sit there and show you living proof that you can go through a tragedy and you can still have peace. You can still have joy. You can still make it through, because the one on the inside of you is always and forever greater than this world. Now, how we access this? Philippians 4, real quick, 4, verse 6 and 7. We all know this. Philippians 4, 6 and 7. You got it? Word of God says, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your heart and minds through Christ Jesus. Amplified. Do not fret or have any anxiety about anything. Like I said, put your spiritual thinking caps on. I mean, I read this sometimes and I've looked at it and said, are you serious? Like, are you serious? Don't be anxious about anything? You mean all of the things that people can go through in life, and the Bible's telling, the Apostle Paul writing to the Philippians, don't be anxious about anything. It's like in James, when James says that to you have joy in all of the tribulations you're going through. You go, what? Because see, that's the world. The world will tell you, you can't go through difficulty and have joy. And that you're going to be anxious about something, that's life. But then the scripture says, be anxious for nothing. And so my next question would be, how? It says, but in every circumstance and in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, continue to make your wants known to God. So that means that what I'm anxious about, cast my cares upon the Lord, because he cares for me. So that means, rather than spend the whole day going, what am I going to do, 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 spend some time praying and say, God, I don't know what to do. Show me what to do. I turn this over to you. And then when it says pray with thanksgiving, that means that you pray like it's done. You don't thank somebody for something they hadn't given you. You ask for something, they give it to you, you say, thank you. So I pray with thanksgiving. So if you have a weak prayer life, you're going to drown in the storm. If it was another way, I'd tell you. I mean, if a nice smile would get you out of it, I'd say, just put on a nice smile and everything will be okay. You got to pray. You got to know that your Heavenly Father does love you, that He does care for you, and that He is concerned about you. And I don't always know why things happen the way they happen, but I know He loves me anyhow. So I'm going to take this thing I'm worried about, and I'm going to cast my care. I'm going to pray with thanksgiving. I'm going to pray about everything. Everything you concern, everything you worried about, everything that's frustrating you, take it to the Lord in prayer. If you don't do that, then all the rest of what I just said was just entertainment. And she sure was funny, wasn't she? Huh? But this is a decision we make on a daily basis, that when I step out today, God becomes priority number one. Yeah, I got to focus on my job. I do an excellent job, and I do the things I got to do through life. But I never lose sight of the fact that God's right there, number one. Not two, not three, number one. And because He's number one, whenever I'm dealing with something, my Heavenly Father knows, He cares, He knows what I need before I even ask Him. And I've got to go to Him and seek His face. I got to praise Him. I got to worship Him. I can't always let, well, when everything's wonderful, here I come to church. Praise God. Hallelujah. And then when everything's falling apart, we can't find you. That's when you got to man up. It's gender neutral. Just when you got to man up and say, no, even though I'm going through this, I'm going to take this to God. Now look what the scriptures promised us now. Then it says in verse 7, And the peace of God, which passes understanding, shall keep your heart and minds through Christ Jesus. The Amplified says, the peace which transcends all understanding shall garrison and mount guard over your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. The Christ Jesus that sleep on the bottom of your boat, wake Him up, peace be still. So He's saying the storm that's going on all around you is getting on the inside of you. And when that storm rages on the inside of you, that's when you got to understand you got to access some peace. If I hadn't accessed some peace over the last year, I lost my mind. There are times when it don't make any sense. Everything suggests I ought to fall apart, and then you feel the peace of God. You ever felt that? When all evidence suggests you ought to be all wound up, but you can't explain it. It passes all understanding. You're just walking around. You're okay. You're at peace. It's that peace that you know that God is with you, that somehow He's going to bring me through it. And that word garrison in the Amplified, garrison and mount guard, that's a military term. Those are military troops. It would be like, for whatever reason, we were in so much danger and there was so much assault coming against us in this church building that somehow I got a hold of President Obama or Bush or anybody you liked when they was president. Just the point is, I get a hold of the person with authority and say, hey, we're in trouble. And he dispatches the Army Reserve to come and garrison and mount guard all around this building so that all the enemies that are outside can't come inside, because they standing there with weapons waiting to blow you away because they're here to guard us. Well, what guards your heart, because the Bible teaches us to guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. What guards your heart is the peace of God. The peace of God is surrounding your heart. And when the anxiety, when the fear, when the frustration is coming, the peace of God can say, back it up. Back it up. Or if you're gangster, you can say, back it up. Back it up. Does anybody really shoot like that? Why whenever you see gangsters and stuff, they always like this. It's like a code that they take. You cannot shoot like, you have to do like this. I don't really know why I went there, but I did. Let's end on this. In Philippians 4, stay right there. We go down to verse 11. The Apostle Paul is receiving an offering from the Philippian church for some other churches in need. And he wants them to understand that he's not asking them because he's trying to get something out of them because he needs it. So in verse 11, it says, "Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know how to be abased. I know how to abound. Everywhere in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me." Now, years ago, I got this revelation that more than the BMW and more than the big old house and more than the this and the more than the that, that's all great and wonderful. But with or without that, I got to access some contentment. You know what I'm saying? It's like, how, I mean, really, really living your life year in and year out, never at peace, always needing something, always wanting something, always wishing. I mean, at some point in time, I got to find a way to enjoy the day. Because did you ever notice that the job you can't stand when you get the pink slip, all of a sudden you don't want to lose? That the wife or husband to get on your last nerve when they pack up the suitcase and walk out on you, you start thinking, wait a minute, let's reevaluate this. You couldn't be content being single, so you married that knuckleheaded, unemployed guy, and now look at you. And it comes from a lack of contentment. That's power in peace and contentment. And so Paul said, I know how to have a bunch of money and live large and be content with it. But he said, but when I'm struggling with some finances, I could be at peace. I don't settle for it. I don't just say this I've always got to be. I just say that this the season I'm in right now, I can be at peace. I'm content. He said, there are times when I'm well fed. I got more than enough to eat. Then he said, I'm content then. But then there's times when I'm hungry. He said, I'm still content. He's saying that what's going on out here ain't changing nothing. You know how powerful that is? I'm still seeking that. That if I could get to the place where my internal peace is uninterrupted, that whatever I'm dealing with or going through, I can still walk in peace, I can still have joy, then that means that God truly is in control of my life and not my circumstances. And so Jesus is saying to us this morning, I've given that to you. It's in you. The elders and I were talking about how everything is in us. Christ in us is the hope of glory. Colossians 1:27. Healing's there. Prosperity. It's all in us. And so it's like we lose sight of always thinking God's got to give me something when God's saying, use what I've already given you. Like Moses, who's standing over the Red Sea praying, God, what am I supposed to do? He said, what are you praying to me for? Take the rod in your hand, put it over the sea. Take what I've already given you. Use what I've already given you and walk right past that sea and get on to the other side. Well, sometimes I forget, sometimes you forget that this world has been deprived of its power. So whatever's robbing you of your peace right now, take it back and say, I could still be at peace. I could still be at peace because the peace is supernatural and it is beyond anything the world can give. I believe in that God wants you blessed, wants you to have money. I got that. But he don't want you waiting till then to be at peace. Because then you'll fall in love with money. Then you'll fall in love with whatever it is you got to have that you can't be happy right now. And I know if I took a survey, you guys could tell me some tragic stuff, I'm telling you. And we go through things. I'm just telling you what the Bible says, because that's all I can do. Amen. Let's stand together.